to another episode of Footballing with Ben Roethlisberger. My name is Spence, and I am joined here, as always, with Ben Roethlisberger. What's up, dude?
What's up, Spence? What's up, everybody? How are we doing?
It's been a while.
Has it? Oh, yeah. We took last week off.
We took a bye week. This is my first bye week. It's pretty good.
Bye weeks are nice, aren't they?
Yeah, man.
You feel rejuvenated when you come back from a bye week?
I do. Yeah.
I do, too. I miss the fans.
Yes. Well, luckily for you and them, we're back.
Back.
But today feels special, Ben.
Today is a special day.
Why
not? Because it was Parent Teacher Conference Day.
Oh, yeah.
Which we can talk about that, too.
Yeah.
But no, today is a very special episode of Footballing because we have a very special guest.
Do we?
That nobody knew about. And we just got
including
told,
us.
And I just got told about it yesterday because I was begging to get him on. One of the three most popular requested people ever on the Footballing, the one and only Heath Miller.
What's up, guys?
Sound effects. We just make them ourselves.
I like it. I like it.
All in house.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Welcome,
taking time.
Heath. Yeah, man.
It was awesome.
That's
Heath was in town.
Yes.
For he's being, am I allowed to announce this yet?
Sure.
This will air after.
Yeah, sure.
He's being inducted into the Steelers Hall of Fame, Hall of Honor. What are they calling it exactly?
Hall of Honor.
Hall of Honor.
Yep.
As he should be, very well deserved. And so I asked him, I said, you're coming to town. Like, when you come and didn't know and had a lot going on. But as of yesterday, I think at some point, you were like, hey, I have like a little bit of time for you. He's like, how long are you going to go? Like, well, if you're Charlie Batcher, you go 3 hours. Otherwise, you go for one. Yeah. But no, he said it, and we had to bump Bob Pompiani.
Yes.
So, Bob, when I talked to you the other day.
Sorry, Bob.
We had Bob scheduled, and then when you said you could come, I was like, hey, Bob, no offense, but Heath's never in town, and I got to get him.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no problem, whatever you got to do. So, Bob, we'll get you next time. But thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. And congratulations on the Hall of Honor. Very well deserved.
Thank you very much. So I owe an apology to Mr. Pompiani now.
And then, trust me, he'll be fine. Bob will be fine. I think he understands.
I think Bob's got a show that people can watch him on. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll see Bob all they need to see. So we were talking parent teacher conferences.
Yes.
Which is why.
You had a parent teacher conference this morning?
Yeah, all three kids.
Yeah. Oh, good for you, man.
Yeah. Luckily, when I came home, I didn't have to, like, you know, nothing bad. It was all pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah, the kids are good. And so that was, you know, Heath and I were talking about kids, and I said, how long can you stay today? And he said, well, my kids are just in the hotel room, so they'll be fine.
I checked in a second ago. They're not tearing the walls down yet, so.
That's good.
All good.
Heath, four kids?
Yep. Four kids, three boys and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest.
They still playing all kinds of sports?
Yeah.
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 What are we into now? What's our favorites?
Well, my oldest just finished travel baseball for the fall.
Okay.
So, and he played football as well.
Oh, you let him play football?
He did first year.
Yeah.
First
How'd
year
he
playing. He did okay.
What position?
Okay. Well, they don't have a lot of guys on their team. So,
oh, really?
He was like a slot receiver, a little bit tight end. Defense, he was a safety, defensive end, cornerback, all
over. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, good first year.
Okay.
Get to learn a bunch of stuff. So he had fun.
Okay.
And then Jake, my second oldest, plays lacrosse. Oh. He played flag football this year. And both the older, all the kids are about to start basketball soon.
Nice.
And then Cole plays soccer and flag football. And my daughter Morgan plays soccer.
She's still big. I was going to wonder if she's still big in the soccer.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if people don't know, your wife played soccer, obviously, in college.
Yeah, my wife played soccer at college. She was on the youth national team.
Right.
Growing up. So,
that's where the kids USA? Get their athleticism from.
100%. 100%.
And those that don't know the lovely Katie, we're not going to put her out like on blast, but she's still very passionate about her sports.
Yeah. She's competitive.
Yes.
Yeah, she's competitive. She's tough.
Mm-hmm. I've sat next to her at baseball games when our sons were on the same team. And
yeah,
she gets into her sports. And I'm going to say that in the most lovingest.
Not in a bad way.
No, not in a bad way. Just very into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
It's awesome. It's funny to watch. I enjoy sitting back and sitting next to her. And I there was one time, I think, that someone got hit with a ball. Well, it wasn't a big deal. And they were on the ground. And she's like, get up. You're fine. You know, suck it up. No
blood. Probably our son. Yeah. It was definitely our son. I'm sure.
It's so funny. Well, that's good. I'm glad everyone's doing well.
Yeah.
That's doing well.
I thought it was interesting. You said that your son's first year playing football.
Yeah.
What grade is he in?
He's seventh grade.
Okay, so that's pretty late.
So he played flag football up until this year. And this is his first year playing tackle.
That's perfect. So. When did you start? Sorry, Spence, I mean,
no, you're good.
I started playing in second grade.
Oh, you were that early?
Yeah.
Like flag or straight tackle?
Football. No, football.
Wow. See, I didn't start till fifth. And I told Benjamin that he can't play till fifth. And so that's next year. He's so excited.
Yeah.
Because I think they start these kids too young if they don't know what they're doing. But I'm surprised. I didn't know you played that early.
Yeah. So when I started, the league was like third through whatever, seventh grade, you know, different levels within that. But the coach came over to my house and I had to beg my mom to let me play. So she said I could play under one condition. She bought like these forearm pads and like soccer shin pads. So I looked like a mummy walking around out there, but I wanted to play and I got to play.
You were playing quarterback with the shin, with the, with those pads on.
Yeah. I looked horrible.
For those of you that don't know, Heath was a quarterback all the way till college, right? Once you got to college, you
I was a quarterback through training camp into my first year, and we could talk about transition later. There were like eight quarterbacks on the roster and a couple of tight ends.
Matt Schaub, right? Schaub was there. Was he there at the same time? He's a little older than me.
He was there. Yeah, he's 2 years older than me.
So Matt Schaub was in my draft. Is he finally retired yet from the NFL? Is he still?
Yeah, he retired a couple years ago.
Okay, so Matt Schaub was in my draft class.
Oh, nice.
And I knew he was a Virginia guy, so that's. Yeah. I mean, I think it would have been, you would give him a run for his money.
No. I couldn't even say the plays in the huddle.
No, that is, I'll tell you what.
Here's I'm my like, first. I spit the play out in the huddle. I come up to the line of scrimmage. I'm like, how do you say the snap count? Like, what's the cadence again? Like, I'm ready. I'm used to like ready, set, go or whatever it was in high school.
Oh my.
Or you would make fun of me. I forget what I would say.
No. On Fridays. So two, here's my first two Heath Miller stories.
Yes.
Because I told, I can't forget this, but so I did an interview this morning on DVE about, you know, about you. Okay. They called me last night and Randy had texted me. We call and talk about Heath because of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so they were like, hey, you know, give us some Heath Miller stuff. I'm like, tune into my podcast and you'll get all the good stuff.
Oh,
no way.
That's our big time.
It is. I tried to. I just tried to get some people, but I did tell him some stuff. But Heath, this is, and I'm only calling you out on this because you say you couldn't call the plays in the huddle.
Yeah.
There were times, many times, not just a few times, Spence and people out there, I can admit this, that I would screw up the play call in the huddle. I would screw it up for whatever reason. And I'd hear Heath like, Ben, it's not that, it's this. Oh, yeah, that's right. Or I'd call this, Ben, we can't run it like that. Oh, what should I do, Heath? Call it like this. Okay, thanks, Heath. He saved my butt more than you and Matt Spaeth. I've always told every tight end that's come in since that like their job is to – like you have to be the quarterback's right-hand man on the field because we've got so much to think about. I'm not trying to make excuses, but there's a lot to think about. Not that you guys don't too.
Right.
But it was always the tight end and that like corrected me and corrected all the quarterbacks. But there were more times than I can count that I got corrected. And it wasn't done in like a, come on, you idiot, do it like this. It was like a, he would just like, cause you guys would always usually be right next to
usually
us.
Usually right next.
Right next to me.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'd call the play and he'd be like, Ben, he like whispered to me, Ben, no. Oh, okay. Sorry. Wrong one.
He'd say no.
No. And then like you said on Fridays, wouldn't we let you play quarter? You'd have to play every Friday, right? Now I know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every Friday.
I was the emergency. I was the emergency quarterback on Sundays. So we dressed two quarterbacks.
Yes.
And I'm the third. Yes. I'm the third. So I get, this is how prepared, how much they prepare you. They give you one rep every Friday.
You open up,
you hand the ball off to the right, and then, okay, you're good to go. You should be good.
Yes, that was it. So he would get one play on Friday, and he had to call the play in the huddle, call the cadence, and we would just die. We were so, like, that was my favorite part of practice all week because Heath would get up there, ready, blue ready, said hot. It was so robotically funny. But that's anyway, amazing. Yeah, it was great.
I'm just like, don't fumble the snap. Don't, you know, which way are we going, right or left? So the quarterback has a lot on his mind. So back to what you're saying.
So funny.
But and as a tight end, you kind of know like the scheme, the run game, pass game, you got to kind of know everything. So if Ben's lining us up to the left and we're supposed to be on the right, we're like, no, that's not right, Ben.
Sometimes,
not that it matters to him, but it matters a lot to us.
Sometimes he'd be so nice, he wouldn't even tell me. He would just go line up the right way. Even though I called it wrong, he'd be like, hey, guys, come over here, and then you go over there. Oh, did I get that wrong, Heath?
Like, I'm like, fine. Just hand it off. Yeah, just hand the ball off.
Oh, it was so funny.
I love how polite you would be in so that situation.
Polite. So polite.
Hey, I couldn't make him mad at me. I want him to throw me the ball too, you know?
After we do this, I'll tell my politeness Heath Miller story after we do this first.
That wasn't the politeness
Miller story? I've got a better one that goes to like after a incomplete third down play. Many of them.
Well, I cannot wait.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
For that. So Heath, are you a beer person?
Like a good No.
I was waiting.
In depth there. So I'm probably the worst, what's about to happen. I'm probably the worst judge.
I promise
okay.
you.
Let's try it.
There's no one
maybe
worse
Maybe my mind's changed today.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see.
All right. Well, have you ever done like a wine tasting?
Yeah.
All right.
After that. Yep.
So this is kind of similar to that, but in this scenario, we don't know what we're talking about.
Okay.
So I'll send this down the line. This is going to be all our right. first beer.
Okay.
All right. And your responsibility is just to drink it, enjoy it, not enjoy it, all react right. to it, and ooh. Let us know your thoughts. Okay. And I'll give you a little breakdown here before we jump into it.
Don't be like Merrill and just chug it right away.
Yeah, unless you pull a Merrill.
Love you, Merrill.
This oh. is from Duclaw Brewing Company.
Smell that.
Out of Baltimore, which is ironic.
Mm. We're retired now, so we know it's not
Baltimore,
poisoned.
And it's, yeah.
We know it's not poisoned.
It's starting from behind already.
Yes. Oh. It's called Refreshments Cucumber Mojito. That is right. It's hopped sour. It's 7.1. I don't have an IBU, but essentially IBU is a measurement to tell you how bitter it is. So one, it's not registered here or at least given to me.
And
so
what's the 7.1?
7.1 ABV is the alcohol content.
Gotcha.
So this one.
High or low? Is that high?
That's kind of high.
A little higher.
Okay. It's a little higher. All
right. Don't worry. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Just not crazy, but it could, you have a couple of these, you could tuck you in.
Gotcha.
You know,
I got gotcha. You. So, I got gotcha. You.
Right. I smell the mint for sure.
Yeah.
And when you said mojito, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Huh?
You smell the mint? Do you smell anything?
Mm-hmm.
Here it goes. So he.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Is it?
Okay. It's not bad.
Okay.
Not bad.
Ooh. Yeah, it's definitely, you take the sour. So that's the sour. You take that sour, that's called a sour beer.
Yep.
Like some sour.
Now, is there a proper way to taste, like when you taste wine? You should swirl it around. You got to smell the aroma.
Yeah, Ben, is there a proper...
You kind of swish it around in your mouth, right? Like,
yeah.
So you guys have been tasting beers now for how many episodes?
We've been drinking beers for a
long time.
Yeah, tasting...
But formally tasting beers, yes.
Yes.
What's the proper protocol here?
This is exactly how you do it. This is from a professional.
Okay, I'm going to watch you.
This is nice exactly and slow.
Yeah. There's no way this is about to be legit.
This is the most legit thing. I actually taken classes on this online.
Groupon?
You sniff it. You smell it. So now Brett wanted to, he put his through the beer. He'd like drink it through the beer.
He did have a filter.
No, you don't do that.
Everything's filtered through the hair.
You smell. Yeah. You listen.
All the senses.
Yes. And then you taste a little bit. And when you taste, you want to get a little bit of air in there. Because you get a little air in there. When the air gets in, it opens it up. It lets it breathe in the terms of wine people.
Right. Let me.
Because then you get all the flavors. So the next time, I'd like you to get a little air in there to breathe.
Yeah,
okay?
I'll work on it. We got
That was actually way more legit than I thought it was going to be. I'm going to be honest. I thought you about to beat
it. I'm still not sure if I'm buying it, though.
I did it. I tasted like a wine, and typically that's weird because it's carbonated.
Yeah, right? But it's okay.
Hey, it was perfect.
You got to let it bubble and breathe in your mouth.
Hey, man.
Gotcha. I don't mind it. That's okay. That was.
How would you rate it out of 10?
It wasn't overly sour, which was good. We've had some that are so sour, like you.
Yeah.
Like a,
Yeah.
It wasn't overly sour.
I like this.
I could drink it. I wouldn't drink like a six pack.
No.
Well, first off, it's a 7.1. It'd be sleepy by 4.
You get a 3.5 pack.
I don't mind it. I would recommend that to someone if they wanted to try something unique and different.
Yeah.
Give me one more little sip because I'm trying to see if it's like a summer. I don't think it's like a summery.
I think that's, true to its name, I think that's very refreshing. Right? I feel like that's a...
I mean, like I said, I'm not a beer guy, but that's not bad.
Yeah.
So I would give it 7.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a good 7.
Yeah.
I don't,
It's your first time on the show.
First time on the show. I don't know how. I would say.
Yeah, I would say somewhere like a 6.5, 7. I'm
above average.
I like that.
Best thing to come out of Baltimore.
That?
Yeah.
Crab pigs.
Yeah. As a layup. Yeah. I messed that one up. that's nowhere near as good as crab cakes.
And now people are ready for my next Heath Miller story.
Yes, hit us with it. This is the polite Heath Miller story.
This shows the kind of, this is a polite slash character of Heath Miller. All right. One of the many ways we're going to show and talk about Heath's character during the show. And I know he's going to be embarrassed.
I was going to say, does that stuff bother you? Because I read an article today from CBS that gave you the unofficial title of the greatest tight end in Steelers history.
Absolutely. Oh.
I mean, that's...
Yeah. Absolutely.
Does that make you uncomfortable? Because I've never heard a negative word about you.
Ever.
Well, you know.
After this episode...
I make mistakes. Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of great stories that people don't know.
Call my family. Call my wife. She'll tell you everything I don't do right at home.
Even that's like the most humble thing I've ever heard, man.
I have a lot of great stories.
All right. Hit us with it.
Yeah.
And I know it embarrasses him because he's... And I've said this many times. This is nothing new. That he's arguably one of the greatest teammates I've ever played with. In terms of just team first... selfless, all these things. I know you've heard me say it before. I don't want to embarrass you, but here's my story. So remember back in the day before tablets, right on the sideline. So people don't, you know, I'm sure most people out there understand, but what you do is nowadays you have a tablet on the sideline, which don't call it an iPad. I got in trouble for calling it an iPad.
Yeah,
it's a Microsoft tablet.
So there's a tablet out there. And now when you come off the field, you can literally look at the plays, like every play that happened. You're still around with tablets, right? You didn't retire before that.
Yeah, but I didn't figure out how to work them.
So. No, I hated it.
At that point, I was like, dude, we just have pictures.
Hey,
I get pictures, though. So.
I am with you because I used to sit there and Josh Dobbs, who obviously is a rocket scientist, would literally like, I'd be like, Dobbs, do something.
Because in the moment, you just want to see what you want to see and not.
Trust me, I've been there with you. I don't ever do it. Like, I needed help from the younger quarterbacks at home. So I'm with you. Yeah. But anyway, so what you don't understand is there's a tablet. You can look at the plays and you can see and you can like play it and actually watch film real quick.
But you can see
the film,
the whole play.
Yeah. I think you could at least in the preseason. Okay. I assume you can. Yeah. You can see the whole thing.
Okay, cool.
When we first started playing, you would get a black and white page and it would have four pictures on it. The pre-snap, the early snap, the middle of the snap, and then the end. So you only got four snapshots of the play. Hmm. So it's really, I mean, you could only get so much. You couldn't see like, guys would be like, I was wide open. And you look at the picture and you're like, doesn't look like you're going to be open, but I can't see after this, so I don't know. But and so, you know what I'm saying? So you just had to look at pictures and it was on like a piece of paper and whatever. And so that's what we did for the longest time while we played. And you did get used to doing that. I know what you're saying about the tablet was just so difficult to use. So there would be times, I'm going to use two examples here. There'd be times that like a third down, incomplete pass for whatever reason, come off the sideline and somebody on the team would be like, I was wide open. Like, why aren't you throwing the ball? Like, come on, you got to see me. And I'd be like, all right, my bad. Maybe I missed you. Like, let me go look at the pictures and I'll get back to you.
Right.
Look at the picture, like three guys around me. Like, you would go talk to him, you'd be like, hey, it looks like you might have been covered a little bit. But like the quarterbacks or someone would look and be like, okay, obviously good move.
Right.
So I would do, so since same thing happens, third down, incomplete. I'd be like, hey, Heath, like, because I'd ask guys that I trusted. I trusted Heath. I trusted some guys. Like, hey, were you open? Did I miss you? He's like, probably not. Like, there's a guy. I go look at the picture. He'd be wide open. And he would never, ever tell me, like, you missed me. I was wide open. You know, he might say something like, hey, you know, I got this guy on the outside next time. Think about this next time, if we have this certain look, that's football. That's what it should be. But he would never, ever say he was either open or it was amazing. So I would always be like, all right, Heath, you're wide open. I get it. And he was like, no, that guy was kind of, but Heath, he's 15 yards away from you. Like, he's not going to get there, but that's who he is. That's who he was.
Why is that your approach to that? Is that something to like, hey, everyone's going to come up to them and say they're open. I'm not going to bombard them. Is that just your predisposition to view that situation? Like, why was that your response?
Well, I've played quarterback before, so I can appreciate the, like he said earlier, the amount of information you have to process and everything that's going on. So if you got five, six guys, every time you come off, I'm wide open. Right. And they're like, it's just a lot to process. He's going to see the pictures and the coaches are going to tell him like, hey, we like this look. You know, I don't know what the quarterback's coaches are telling him or the offensive coordinator or, you know, that's above my tight end room right there. So, I know if the look lended itself, then you'd find me. So,
it meant a lot as a quarterback because there's so much on you, so many guys pulling at you and grabbing you and stuff that he didn't do that. And it just meant the world to me that I'm like, it made me want to like.
Right.
I mean, obviously, I'm throwing the ball because he's a beast, but like it made me want to go to that guy more because it's like, okay, he's not in my ear. Like, I'm wide open. Do this, do that. It was refreshing. Yeah. I should say.
And I could have been wide open, and he's got a 270-pound beast hanging off of him about to kill him. You know, he's got a lot of other pressing matters happening in the pocket. So yeah.
Other things that playing quarterback has given you insight to? I mean, because you played for 4 years in high school quarterback?
Yeah, I was quarterback basically
and most of my life. And you switched into college.
Yeah, most of my life.
Beyond that kind of like management of a
team. I think you just know like the totality of the plays, you know, it takes you outside of the box that like if a tight end has one route, you think, okay, what's the scheme of the play? Mm. Why am I running this route? When am I going to be open? When should I be open? When do I need to win? What he has to look and what reads he's going through. So it helps you understand, I think, just the totality of offensive plays and schemes.
And that's I mentioned this today on the interview I did with DVE. One of the other cool things that Heath would do, and there have been other guys that are able to do this, but it takes a special breed to be able to do this. And is like say his route was like a 10-yard in route, okay? And the other guy on his side was like a 3-yard in route. So it was going to look like a this, and then it was going to happen. Like it's kind of hard to explain, but basically what would happen is he knew what he was supposed to do all the time. If the other guy next to him ran the wrong route and ran his route, he was good enough to then run that guy's route. And that takes like a total understanding of the playbook and what you're supposed to do. Because it's not like he could have very easily. And it's, you know, there's some guys that are doing it. Like I said, we've had guys on our team that do it. I see it from other guys in football that just understand the big picture of football.
Right. Yeah.
Because what you could do is go run your route and be right next to the other guy and be like, this was my route. Like, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Or you could make it right and not say anything. And maybe just kind of, hey, don't forget on that last play you have this. Instead of like,
right,
what are you doing? Like doing one of these type things. Like, and so that was one of the things that I think made you so special. Obviously correcting me in the huddle when I called the wrong play, but, you know, adjusting, understanding the full concept of the game. And I said this also, there are very few guys that if we are going to go play like in the backyard, the turkey bowl, and you're playing backyard football, like everyone's like, oh, I'm taking the fastest guy or the guy that can throw the furthest or all this stuff. I'm like, I'm going to take the guy that understands the game.
Right.
Like understands that when stuff breaks down, what should I do? Because, you know, a guy can run a 12-yard curl route and he's supposed to just sit there. And if the quarterback starts scrambling, which we know I did all the time, some guys would be like, well, this is my spot. This is my route. Some guys understand I'm going to shuffle. I'm going to move. I'm going to come back to the ball. I'm going to go deeper. Mm. And that's what he and other guys, you know, very few other guys understood the totality of football and of what the game did. So I always thought that was really cool that you were able to kind of, you made it happen and adjust because it's on the fly. The ball snapped. Right. You're like, okay, I'm supposed to go 12 yards and run a route. And you see the other guy going like, oh, what's he doing? Like, oh, what's he doing here? Like, I better adjust quickly. And it was so cool to see.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful because you helped me.
People would ask, probably, I don't know if they ask you this, but like, you and Ben always seem to be on the same page. Yeah, do you guys spend count, like, how much do you need extra? And it was always just a natural thing. You know, I think we probably saw the game through the same lens, you know? And like you said, I grew up playing ball, whether football, basketball, whatever sport.
Right.
So you kind of understand the general concepts of spacing and timing and all this stuff. And so I just, fortunately, I had a quarterback that was the same.
Yeah,
and we could just go play ball a lot of times.
And we did.
And it worked out. And it worked out. Yeah. Very few times where we like, Ben's like, oh, I thought you were going to go here and you went here. I mean, maybe a handful of times.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many did you play? 12 years?
11 years.
11?
Yeah.
I was literally trying to think, like, I bet we could count on one hand, maybe two, the times that we weren't on the same page.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I was the most unorthodox quarterback. Like,
and doing it was like, unspoken,
just making things happen. But, and I just, you're right. I get asked that a lot. Like, you and Heath were always on the same page. It was like, people probably thought we were like in the back. Hey, come on over after practice. Yeah. We're going to backyard work on some stuff.
If this happens or this happens, this is what you're going to do. No, it was just
natural thing. That's a good point. That was good. That's very true.
Were you guys, because you had mentioned this to me one time, you guys were roommates before, right?
We were.
Yeah. So did you think.
Well, 2 years? One year? 2 years?
I got a story about that.
I do have a story too.
Oh, man. Hey,
I'm going to tell my version first.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll tell my version second so I can correct.
Correct them again?
Yes.
Just like the huddle?
Yeah. So I'm just going to say this one little part and then we can decide.
Yeah.
Someone, they asked me today, they said, how'd they say it? Oh, I said I'm having Heath on the podcast today, yeah. Which again, I'm very thankful for you being here. And they said, wow, are you going to be able to get him to speak? And I said, yeah, Heath, we'll get him to open up a little bit. You know, he's very quiet, but we'll be okay. Yeah. And they're like, I bet there's like nothing. Is there anything bad to say about Heath? And I was like, well, oh, I said, we were roommates. That's what it was. I said, we were roommates for like a year or two. They're like, oh, I bet that had to be the greatest experience ever. Like he was just so quiet and didn't do anything. I said, yeah, I'm going to tell a story about that. I said, Heath was the greatest roommate, except for, would you like to expand on anything? Or
just- Well, we had an issue with the sleeping part, you know, everything was good until it's time to go to bed because, well, I'll just say this, the quickest way to get your own room, I'm sure maybe everybody has their own room now.
They do I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
So back in the day, you didn't get your own room until like, what, year four or five, six, something like that. So the quickest way to get your own room is to keep the starting quarterback from getting a good night's sleep the day before a game. So it was unintentional on my part, but it worked out pretty well for me. So
that's so how so?
He claims that I have a, yeah.
Hold on. Let me answer this. Yeah. Matt Spaeth calling. Matt.
That is completely unplanned, by the way.
Matt. Hey, listen, I'm in the middle of my podcast and Heath is my guest and you're taking my time away from Heath. Forget Heath. Forget Heath. He says.
Like throw him the ball.
I'll call you back when I'm done. Okay. All right. So how fitting is that?
That's fine.
In case you didn't know, Matt Spaeth was just knew, the tight end with him. I was going to talk about that relationship.
But he was, yeah.
That's very, that's funny.
He wasn't in the huddle with us. So.
Yeah. Yeah. He was.
What are the odds that that happens right now?
I don't know. Cause I was going to talk about him a little bit too, but yeah, we gotta go, but no, people are dying for the rest of this. Are you done telling your side of the story?
So you're just keeping him up.
He claims that I snored. I think he just wanted his own room.
Interesting.
So
I was going to say
every away game, you only bring enough luggage to fit in the overhead bin.
Right.
I'm coming and like, he's like, you got to bring a fan. You got to bring this.
This is before white noise apps on the phone.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, you know, in hindsight, I'm like, why didn't you bring the fan? You're the one having trouble sleeping. I sleep fine.
Well,
so why don't you bring all these apparatuses to help you sleep? Why am I bringing these stuff to help you sleep? You never explained that to me.
To be fair, Heath was the greatest roommate ever.
I love how you have to preface it with something positive.
I am a very light sleeper. I am self-admit. I sleep. I'm very light. And that's good and bad.
Sure. Okay?
Heath is a very heavy sleeper. I'm not going to throw him under the bus and say he snores. He breathes very, very, very heavy. That nice? That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
It's the best rebranding of snoring.
Katie would agree with you.
Thank you. Yeah. See, everybody. Agree with me. Thank you, Katie. With you. And at training camp, when we were roommates in the smallest of rooms of all time, those dorms were teeny tiny.
Yeah.
You brought a fan the first time because you felt bad.
Yeah.
And so that helped us sleep because Heath would put the fan on. It would drown out the noise. So that I'm just trying to justify why I... Because you brought the fan to camp, and you're right. I probably should have brought a fan, but I don't know. But I'm very thankful that.
So selfish. But it worked out good for the both of us because I think at some point you went to Coach Tomlin and were like, Coach,
I love something's got to change. I can't sleep.
And then I think we both got our own room after that.
I did that for you, actually.
It worked out pretty good, yeah.
Because I knew you wanted your own room.
Yeah.
You had told me, remember? He would leave me little notes like, hey, can I get my own room? Can you go talk to Coach, get my own room?
Yeah.
So. No, but that's the only negative I could ever think about Heath is that he's a heavy sleeper.
Yeah.
That's the only
bad thing. Because tight ends also work really hard during the week in practice. Before the game, you're tired.
True.
You know?
True.
So
I agree. That's crazy. That the only negative.
That's the worst thing you can say is like, my boy sleeps well.
I want to go back to this Matt Spaeth real quick.
Yes.
Because Matt and you guys and you and me were teammates. Do you remember how long he was there for the first time?
No.
Probably 5 or 6, right?
Yeah, because he came in my third year.
Okay.
And then he left. Yeah, probably there like his first contract and then left for a couple of years and came back.
Came back. And Matt is a great, great person. Funny. Like subtly funny. Like, right? Like sneaky funny.
Dry sense of humor.
Yes. Yeah. Like he just said that you suck.
Yeah.
On the phone.
Yeah. Of course he did. Yeah.
But Heath was Batman.
Sure.
And Matt was Robin. Like Mike always, I don't know how that came about, but anyway, they always did that. And what I wanted to say, and I loved having both those guys in huddle because both of them had like their unique skills and talents and whatever. But I don't know if have you gotten to watch much of the Steelers like this year?
A little bit. Yeah.
And so I think like this, like Pat and Zach Gentry remind me a lot of you two.
Yeah.
You know, because they're real close. They get along. They have their,
okay.
Yeah. Their stupid little inside jokes that you and Matt used to have that no one understood. You know, you guys, these two would be over there like giggling like schoolgirls. And everyone's like, what are you guys laughing? They're like, oh, nothing. What are you guys doing? Whatever. So, but those two had the same thing. And it's like, so they remind me a lot of you. And I don't know if you saw much of that, you know, Pat kind of does it all, kind of what you did.
Yeah.
And Zach and Matt were, you know, specialized more in the blocking.
Yeah. Catching, big guys,
you know,
big
stuff. Yep. And it's funny because Pat, who I think is a really good talent. I think Pat's a really good football player. He reminds me a lot of you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've heard a story that BA, did you hear the story of the BA?
Yeah, you told me.
Yep. Oh, did I tell you that?
Yeah, you told me that.
And I don't know if those of you that haven't heard a story don't remember, but on draft day, I'm sitting out to dinner with Ashley. Ashley and I out eating dinner. And my phone vibrates, Steelers draft, Pat Freiermuth. And I was like, Freier, what? Like, who is this guy from Penn State? And literally right after that, Bruce Arians, BA, texts me and says, this guy, you'll love this kid. He's the closest thing to Heath Miller I've ever seen. I was like, done. Enough said. Done. Two guys I respect, you and Bruce and BA, that I respect. And I see it. I see the selflessness. He celebrates a little more than you did, which I will get up and demonstrate one of your celebrations in a little bit. But he does have a lot of you in him, like team first, like just all that stuff. And so you guys remind me a lot. And he met you before, I think, one of the, like a game at one point. Yeah. Was it last year?
Last season, yeah. Yeah.
He was like a little kid on Christmas. He was like, Ben, I just met Heath. I just saw him. Yeah. And I think he did, like, he painted his shoes in honor of you this year.
He did this year, yeah. He texted me before the game.
Oh, you guys are now texting buddies?
Well,
occasionally. Wow, yeah.
Occasionally, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So he gave me the heads up, which I was very honored. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just cool. I didn't know how much you communicate, but he was so through the roof when he was like, you'll never. And he came up to me. He's like, Ben.
He's like, Ben. He's like geeked about
it. I just met Heath. Oh my goodness. I didn't know. Like, I hug him. Like, what do I do? I'm like, Pat, you're such a little. That's so funny. But I get it. I definitely, when it's a guy, your position that everyone, I mean, every time someone, now they're starting to get the move, but like, every tight end that left after you, when they caught a pass, got Heath chanted every time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty
cool.
I'm
sure they hated that too, though.
They probably did, but that's pretty cool.
I mean, I thought it was cool.
Kinda of course.
Cool.
Because you should.
They're probably like, geez, man, I got my own name. So.
I think there's a cool correlation there between those two, you two and the two new guys.
Yeah.
He's pretty fun to see.
Yeah. And he's a good player for sure. I think Steelers are, you would know better than me, but. They're lucky to have him.
Yeah,
and,
I think so too. You know what?
Yeah,
I'm going to get into it. I guess I was going to talk about the concussions, but we don't need to talk about that
because
that's not something we'll talk about.
That's above our pay grade.
We're uplifters here.
Yeah, well, and we know it's highbrow stuff.
That's right.
Doctors that's and scientists.
We are doctors sometimes.
We drink beer on the internet. We don't have.
You become doctors later in the show.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, we do. Yeah. All right, Spence, give us number two.
So this
two.
Is our Let's second one here that we're walking into. This is from Southern Grist.
Oh my goodness!
Brewing company. Like you're gonna love this one, dude. I know you like all the fruity, like berry stuff.
Here we go.
Yeah. It's called Strawberry Biscuit Ale. It's out of Nashville, Tennessee. 5.2 ABV. Oh, it's a blonde ale, and it's actually brewed in partnership with Hardee's. The fast food restaurant.
Really?
I don't think you can buy it out of Hardee's.
Yeah, well, how do they
partner? But for some reason,
why do they
it's brewed with Hardee's, man. Maybe Hardee's has biscuits for like their breakfast sandwiches.
I don't know that they're eating at Hardee's.
I don't know.
They have Hardee's in the South,
right? Hardee's in the South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
not this way.
Either way. Southern Grist, Hardee's.
Breakfast at Hardee's.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So yeah, it is a strawberry biscuit ale.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean, it smells like it smells like candy.
Yeah.
Really.
So now that we have proper technique that Ben educated us on.
Oh, it tastes a lot different than I thought it would.
Really? How so?
I thought it was going to be sweeter. Did you smell the sweetness?
I did smell the sweetness. Yeah.
It's not as sweet to the palate.
No, it's not horrible.
It does smell like candy.
But it doesn't taste like candy.
No, like it smells like those strawberry, like, you know, those little strawberry hard candies.
Those things that you love.
Yeah, I actually do love those.
It's kind of like the stone man under the bus. Right. Love those things.
Yeah.
Hey man, we both love berry seltzers. You know this.
Only from Ashland.
Ashland. Yeah. It's the best seltzer on the planet.
Ashland
hard seltzer.
I like that. Of course I do. I mean, it's not as good as a real good stout or IPA, but
Yeah, we know how you love stouts. That is very good. Yeah, man.
But it's not as sweet as you thought.
No. It's more blonde ale than it is strawberry. Mm-hmm.
See that professionalism in there?
Yeah.
Hey. Did you understand what he said?
Hey. I'm not understanding his language.
This is an industry term. This is what we use here, man.
Yeah. I'm learning a lot today. I'm learning a lot.
I am curious, though, when you were talking about your kids playing sports, it always amazes me that I feel like people or the professional athletes that I know always wait for their kids to play football. They have some kind of like period of time. And that always is interesting to me. Why is that the case? Did you have a period of time where you're like, no, I don't want you to play football? Cause you guys had with jamming, right?
For sure. Yeah. I think I don't have the right answer. At times this year, you see other kids who have played and they obviously know what they're doing a little more than my son. I'm like, oh, did I wait too long?
Yeah.
But I think if a kid's a good athlete and he's passionate about wanting to play and wanting to be good in time, you have to be patient, which I remind myself. Mm. But I think in time, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because football is not if a kid wants to play soccer, it's going to be really hard as a seventh grader or a 13-year-old kid to pick up a soccer ball and start dribbling around and juggling it. Or if a kid wants to be a baseball player and he's never swung a baseball bat before, I think those are fine skills that would be difficult to pick up later on. But football, I mean,
yeah,
all the other sports transition, I think, well to that.
Do you remember, did the boys want to play did they always want to play football? Do you remember?
Always, yeah.
Yeah, mine did. I think mine did too.
Yeah, I tried to introduce him to all other sports. Not that I didn't want him to play football, but like, hey, you don't have to play football.
Yeah.
And I forget how old he was. Maybe he was like 6 years old. He goes, Dad, it's in my blood.
I love that.
I didn't know what to,
I didn't know what else to say
to that. So I'm like, okay.
That's awesome.
All right.
Yeah. I assume that almost any kid that is around their dad in our sport is going to have that, like, want to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And Coach Tomlin was awesome.
A lot of kids.
Every Saturday, my older two, my third son and my daughter wasn't old enough, obviously, at the time, but they would come to work with me on Saturdays. Come to walk through, they would have, well, Ben has stories about this, I'm sure, but they would have this tackle football game with the other kids in the locker room while we're in meetings. So I would come down and my son's in the training room seeing John Norwig because he got hit in the head.
Yep.
So every Saturday he's probably in the training room more than I was that year.
We would get out of our meetings before the tight ends. And so I'd go down there and it was like full-fledged
contact
like lighting each other up. No rules, just whoever had the ball, you're trying to go after them.
And it was
violent. And I'm sorry, Heath, but sometimes, admittedly, so we would hype them up.
Yeah,
that's like, okay. Get them going.
It's okay.
Like, go you get
gotta,
them.
You gotta toughen you got them up. You gotta toughen them up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So some of those might have been our fault, like all the guys down there. But you're right. But it was so cool to see the kids around. Like, I got to do that with Benjamin a little bit. Like, have him come to training camp and stay one night. But then with COVID, like, I got the last 2 years, I wasn't able to do that stuff, which kind of hurt. But it's always neat as a dad, because that's what we are first. It's neat as a dad to be able to have the kids come and be a part of that little meeting. I remember Benjamin was sitting that. The last year he would come to some of the meetings on Saturday morning, like sit in the quarterback rooms.
Yeah.
And he would be like, he'd be watching the film. Cause he's like, that's football. Like, I'm watching it. Like, it's like watching a game on Sunday, right? You're watching it. And he'd be like, hey Dad, why'd you throw to Deontay right there? And I'm like, I don't know.
So he's questioning you in the meeting.
He would question me. He's like, Dad, Deontay's wide open.
That was horrible.
And I'm like, are you serious, buddy? So then I'd go tell Deontay and he'd be like, that's my guy, you know, or whatever it was. But he'd be like, Dad, on that play, you got to throw it to him or you got to throw it to so-and-so. I'm like, dude, relax.
It's easy right now.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You can rewind it and watch it again.
Oh.
But to Coach Tomlin's credit, you know, that's something that my older two boys will never forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, those are memories and stuff that I'll never forget. It's special to me that they were able to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have to remind me, 2008. Would you have had anyone at the Super Bowl that we won?
No.
You didn't have anything.
Katie was pregnant with Chase at that Super Bowl. Chase was at the next Super Bowl.
Okay.
That's one
of the things, like, Benjamin was like, Dad, I wish we could have won a Super Bowl. I'm like, I know.
Yeah, me too, right?
It started out being like, I just want you to win so we can go to Disney.
Yeah.
You know, then it was like, I just want you to win.
Then he sees other kids out there. Yeah.
That was one of the things I wish more than anything, like, Man, I would have been awesome to have your kid out there.
It would have been.
Because that's one of the coolest
to share that ever. Experience with them. Yep.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but they got to experience other fun things, so that's cool.
Yep.
That's huge.
I had another thing for you.
Yeah, hit me with another Heath story. Hey, do you have any Ben stories?
We're gonna edit this.
Yeah. Well, give us the Ben stories.
Ben stories. Yeah. Let me think.
While he's thinking of it, I'll say this.
Please do.
This is our 11th episode.
This is.
We are so close to 30,000 subscribers.
It's on there right now.
Because we're live?
No, I'm telling you because I sent it to you and then
people joined.
And then there's even more. I guarantee you
we're so.
Oh, dude, there's no way. We're 10 away.
Oh, 10 people. Heath, subscribe right now.
10 away from 30K.
Heath's already a subscriber. But
what a good teammate. What
we started with nothing. Obviously we started.
Yeah, that's how channels start. Yeah.
My fault. But no, this is the very first episode that I didn't wear Crocs.
Really?
I know. It took me
people are going to unsubscribe now, dude.
I know. Well, here's the reasoning, though.
I'm not wearing Vans either, though.
There goes all our sponsorships.
Well, it was good while it lasted, guys.
So every episode I wear my Crocs with my socks because that is the best thing in the world.
Gotcha.
But I didn't wear them today only because I had parent-teacher conference. And I had them on.
You didn't want to go into the...
I had them on to go to parent-teacher conference with my jeans and my socks and my Crocs. Yeah,
holding it down.
And... Yeah, she was kind of.
I was
like,
gonna say, did you get the cease and desist?
I kind of got the.
You weren't that.
You're not, and I didn't have my dressy Crocs.
It's raining.
Right.
It's raining.
And it's raining. Crocs, dressy Crocs. And so I didn't wear them. So I just kept. I was gonna go change them before I did the episode, but I didn't. And so I'm sorry.
Well, that's a bold move too, man. Because you're wearing white. And those are white shoes, and those are like clean white.
They are nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good for you.
And so that was the first thing I was gonna say because I thought about Crocs because we always thank Crocs.
for nothing. They don't sponsor this. But we always thank.
And then we also. Thank you to all the fans out there because we were talking to like trying to get Coors Banquet to be a sponsor, right? Because we were like, oh, why not? It's a beer thing. We should get Coors Banquet.
Right.
Cool.
Right.
We both like Coors Banquet, the Yellow Belly. And then we didn't really put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
Per usual.
Yeah.
Are they like, well, they're already drinking it on the show. So
probably that.
Well, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, wait a second, you guys want us to sponsor you while you drink other beers?
Yeah, that's what
not exactly what we thought about. You know,
so promoting
like,
other things.
Yeah, like, you know, hey, we're sponsored by Nike, but we're going to talk about all these other shoes.
Man, I love this Reebok hat, though. Right?
Yeah. It's like, so we didn't really think that one through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sorry. But thank you to all the fans. The fans were like really supportive, like, cool, you should do this. And
yeah,
thank you. I mean, we'll still take product.
And they bridged the gap and they've been sending in beers like crazy for us to try.
The so fans.
Yeah, the fans.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we've been... very thankful for that.
Yes.
And we're diving into them and we're having a Friendsgiving tonight.
Yes, that's true.
You're more than welcome to, but I know you got your family, but, and there will be plenty of those beers being tasted tonight.
Yes.
So we will, alert you next episode
by trained professionals,
us.
Yeah.
Kind of how they are and we'll thank you guys and everything. So anyway, that was my like letting you think and stuff and think of stories while I talk about my, now wearing Crocs for the first time.
Yeah, good commercial break. Do you know what's funny though?
A commercial break.
I did a thing for the North Face yesterday.
I heard you
and
modeled.
I just found out they own Vans. I showed up wearing Vans and they're like, oh, you're wearing Vans. I was like, oh yeah, is that cool? You know,
no way. They're so excited.
And they're like, yeah, man, because like we own them. I was like, wait a second, everyone be quiet. You own Vans? I was like, well, what's up? How you guys doing?
Yeah. That's funny.
I heard you were modeling yesterday.
Yeah, I was.
How'd that go?
Dude.
Did you have to wear a North Face puffer jacket with no shirt underneath?
Yeah, dude, it was so, I don't want to say awkward. It was cool. Everyone at the North Face was dope. But then stores come in to buy from them, right? And so literally you're in a meeting and you're just wearing like clothes, like jackets. I was there for like, I don't know, 6 hours or something. I wore 3 jackets in a meeting and walked out. And that's that was nice it. Little, that was the entire, yeah.
Good for
was,
you.
Yeah. Not bad.
I was like, good not a bad you. Way to pay some bills. Yeah.
Good for you.
I say that to say, I'm one step closer to the van sponsorship.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Vans, you can stay with him.
Yeah.
I'll take Crocs.
All right. Break.
Break. Okay.
Yeah.
Commercial over.
So do we have any, I know you got plenty of Heath stories. What are some Ben stories?
Well, this one popped to mind. So we're playing Baltimore.
Yeah.
I don't know what year or the game situation or whatever. But at one point in the game, you were sacked by Haloti Ngata.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Whoa. And you probably knew. I don't know how bad you knew your face was messed up.
Oh, thanks, Heath.
But your face was messed up.
Did we talk about this last episode? I think. I feel like we had
when you broke your nose.
So yeah, I remember, you know, I'm playing the game. I know Ben gets sacked, whatever. Maybe it's a timeout. He comes off from the sideline and I'm in the huddle. You know, you're breathing hard. He starts spitting out the play and I always try to look because it's loud there at his face because you want to be able to see his lips move. Like you want to read the lips and the play because sometimes I'm next to him. Sometimes I'm across from the huddle. So at this point, I'm directly face to face with him. I look up and Ben's nose is like going like 3 or 4 different ways. And I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, oh, he can't see my reaction. Cause I don't know if he knows his nose is like,
does he not
it's
know?
Bad. Like he might have to have surgery when we get back to Pittsburgh after this.
But
I'm pretty sure he probably willed us to victory. It was one of those games that he brought us down at the end. I think we won that game. I'm pretty sure. So.
That's the game. I told that story last week.
To his toughness and stupidity. It was kind of in his element, you know, when the games are on the line at the end.
Yeah.
And like you said, it becomes not backyard football because we know what plays are running, but
yeah,
the ball's in his hands and he's just going and playing. And you know, that's when he was always at his best. But
that's the time when I
was just like, oh, I'm like, oh, here, no, I got to control myself here. What was the play again? Sorry, I was staring at your nose. What's the play?
He said,
that's the one where
I got to hurt.
I went to Bradley on the sideline and was like, Doc, is my nose, bro? He's like, I can't tell. We'll check it at halftime.
Yeah.
And I went at halftime.
You
like,
sell yourself in the mirror.
Are
like,
you serious, Doc? Like, are you serious right now? So you don't know? Well, I didn't want you to freak out. Yeah. like Heath was doing it in the huddle. Yeah, exactly. To find out.
Heath knew it was broken immediately.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
that's
dude.
Amazing.
You know what I want? I do it. I thought of something when you're talking about this. And obviously it's not quite as like light and funny, but they asked me about this morning. And I thought it'd be a good question to ask you. Your rookie year was the first Super Bowl, correct? Because you're 1 year behind me.
Yeah.
So we played Indianapolis during the regular season.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember how loud it was in there?
Yeah.
Like, Spence, when I tell you we're in the huddle, like we're like closer than this,
yeah,
and you couldn't hear each other.
Really?
And you go to places like he says Baltimore. Places are loud, yeah, but when you're in the huddle, you can always, I mean, you can holler loud enough.
Is that when they were pumping it in, though?
Yes. Okay. It was so, like, I mean, you're on the side. I remember being on the sideline sitting, and you'd never have an issue on the sideline.
Right.
No matter what stadium you're at.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you can be on the sideline, and it's quieter than in the huddle. I don't understand why, but.
Well, yeah, I agree, because just the guy sitting next to you on the bench, you couldn't have a conversation with him.
Couldn't do it. Could not do it. Mm-mm. And come to find out, I don't know if you remember, but later they found out they were pumping the fake noise in.
Yeah.
And so we had to go back there in the postseason and mm-hmm. play. I think we went to Cincy first. Well, yeah, we went to Cincy.
Yeah, second round of the playoffs.
Second round, we went to Indy. And at that time, we were, I mean, for the most part that season, we were kind of run first team, you'd say. Pretty. Maybe balanced, but a little more. I mean, run first.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember. I forgot about this till they brought it up. But do you remember going to that Indy game, how that game started?
Yeah. Play action pass down the sideline. Yeah.
Threw it. I mean, we threw the ball. You ran more pokos.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't recall it that time. But you were taking the. We came out.
The whole first two drives, or maybe the whole first half. I don't know.
At least the first two drives. I know for sure. We went down the field and scored both times.
Yeah.
And it was, I bet, 75% of the plays were him catching the ball. But it was you. It wasn't even just passes. It was like, I don't know if if whatever it was, but we were just, it was the middle of the field. Heath, boom, boom.
Yeah, they were a big cover two team, I think, at the time. And Bob Sanders would come down, but a lot of cover two.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we went down the field and he was catching balls. And it was just, they reminded me of that today. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like that game kind of broke the mold in the sense that, I don't know if they were expecting a run and all this, that and the other, but we went down the field the first two series and it was he and I just connecting the whole way down.
Dang.
And got a lead on, you know, Peyton Manning led team.
Yeah.
And but it was much quieter that time.
Interesting.
Not much. I mean, it was still loud, but it was.
It was loud. It was loud. And we were a run team. Mm-hmm. So when you're on the end of the line of scrimmage as a tight end, and the first time there was no silent count or anything.
Ever do silent count?
So I'm like in a 3-point stance trying to look around the tackle to see, like, because Ben, he had a rhythm to his cadence. So he would usually start.
Yeah.
And I could. Okay, I'm timing it up in my head because I'm just seeing, okay, I caught blue 80. Was that the first one or the second one? I don't know. And then they had Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis, I believe, on both edges, which were like their studs. Game was built on speed.
Studs.
So
on
if you're
coming off the edge.
So it was a deadly combination between the crowd noise and their, the way their defense was built.
Dude, so, let us down the field. It was crazy.
To throw the ball was a little bit easier.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I totally forgot about that. That was so cool. To like when they asked me that, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. We did go down the field doing that.
Yeah. Got to lead early, but that game, I remember it felt like that game was like 6 hours because we felt like we dominated the whole.
Yeah, for sure.
Beginning of the game, maybe the whole first half, and like, and then you look at the score, we're like, oh, we still have this much, this long many time. More quarters to go.
Dang. Were you on the field when Jerome fumbled? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Were you? You were at a wing.
I what was do down in like the bottom of the pile. I just looked up and saw him running.
Really? I wondered.
And I saw
you. See, it would have helped if Heath would have been back there because he had more speed than me. I remember thinking like, no speed on the field.
Tooman was out there and yeah. Tooman had a good, was coming at an angle. I don't know if he would have got him, but
yeah,
I still don't know how you made that tackle.
Well, yeah. I just didn't know if you were out there or not or what you were thinking because I know it was bizarre, but anyway. Yeah.
What were you thinking when you saw him make that tackle? Like you knew, like as he's going back and
like
forth,
I,
he's
trying to pick my heart throughout that whole game. Like I said, I feel like it took forever, but I feel like I'm like, holy cow. I felt my heart almost stopped like five different times because they missed field goals. Yeah. You made the tackle.
Well, they still had a chance.
They were throwing the ball into the end zone to win the game.
They had a chance to win it at the end.
They were like taking shots. And Vanderjack was coming over there.
And he was Mr. At home.
An incredible kicker.
Yes.
Coach Cowher tried to ice him or something. I just remember him yelling something at the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what he was said. But
he was mad.
He was mad, yeah. And then he missed it. Yeah. So that was just a game where like, holy cow, I'm exhausted because, just by watching, just right. like yeah. being like up and down, emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, because people are like, oh, you saved it. Like, I saved the day. But really, I mean, I stopped them from scoring right there. But they had a chance to go win the game.
Yeah.
And our defense stepped up. I mean, it wasn't like a 70-yard field goal. It was a field goal. They should have made it. Yeah. So it was still crazy. I mean, if he would have went and scored, we would have had the ball back with a chance to go ourselves. Mm-hmm. But at that point, it would have been crazy. But that was a cool memory to think about.
Yeah.
That game, because you know when Heath would score his touchdowns, that's the other thing I say about Heath. One of the cool things is. Is when a touchdown happened, he would just kind of flip the ball to the official usually, and then turn and look to celebrate with teammates, which I think is one of the coolest things ever. I respect that a lot. I love when you score a touchdown because you literally can never score a touchdown. I'm trying to make sure that this is possible. On offense, you can literally never score a touchdown without the help of somebody else.
Yeah, it's a team sport.
I mean, even if you're making an amazing catch, well, the guy had to throw you the ball or an amazing run, someone had to block. You had to have something.
Yeah.
So every time you score, you should credit other people. I mean, that's the way the game. Yeah. I mean, and that's what Heath would do.
Yeah.
And I love doing that too because when we throw a touchdown pass, like the first people I celebrate with is the
line. Usually the line turn around.
Yeah, they turn around, give me a hug.
The line just celebrates with you. They don't come down.
They don't have to go all the way down the field. So it's kind of, they just didn't want to run. But Heath would just do it. And then every once in a while, out of nowhere, Heath would give this. And we'd be like, we'd watch it on film. And it was probably Matt Spaeth probably is the one that led this. But we'd watch film the next day. And he would be like, remember Gladiator? Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And that's what he'd be like, doing one of these. And we're like, yes, we got something out of him, like a reaction. And usually it was because it was a big play late in the game. Yeah. And he got hit when he caught it, like something. Where it's just like, like a little extra. And we're like, he's fired up. Yeah. Because, I just got another story, Heath. Sorry. I know you have to go yet. How long have we been here? No, we got a little bit more. Okay, that's another story.
Okay.
Heath is one of those guys too. Two things in practice. I'm not going to embarrass you, don't worry. If Heath dropped the pass in practice, it was like the record screech. Like everybody stopped, and I would laugh, and he would probably get so mad. He didn't know, but I would laugh because it's so like he didn't even drop balls in practice.
Yeah,
never. And he would get so mad. He would drop one
in practice.
Practice. Yeah. He would drop one ball in like every other week, maybe longer.
Really?
And it might be like one hand. I mean, it would be like a catch where like, oh, he just maybe should have had it, but probably wasn't going to catch it. And he would get so mad at himself. And I'd be sitting back there laughing. after I knew you more, like probably not the beginning, but after I knew you more, I would start laughing. And people would like, they'd be like, oh, he dropped the ball. Like everyone's like freaking out. Like, oh my goodness, he dropped the pass.
Yeah.
And he'd be so mad. slam, boom. Yeah. And come back to the huddle. My bad, Ben. My bad. Yeah. And I would just be like, Heath, it was like you got one finger on it. It was a horrible pass. Right. Like, but he'd be so mad. And I would just laugh. I would laugh inside, outside, because I'm like, that's just who he is. Like, he cared so much about everything, even practice. And then another practice thing, Heath. I'm sorry, I got to do it.
just like reminiscing.
No, no, I'm not going to. Yeah. They do. They keep making things. Yeah. Because I think this also speaks of who he is and was and how much he was revered. That's why I'm saying this. In practice, and he can speak to this a little bit, in practice, especially during training camp, would you say once, during training camp probably happens more often, but maybe every other week to every, maybe once a month, like a fight of some sort breaks out?
Yeah.
Training camp
more. But every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah, not very, I guess not so much in the regular season, but fights will break out.
People kind of run out of steam once the season starts.
Right, yeah, true. And usually it's like an offensive or defensive lineman, usually. Yeah. They're mad at like a practice guy who's going a little harder because he's, I don't blame him, trying to make a team. I mean, he's trying to hang around.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can probably get annoying, but some guys, and I won't mention anybody's name, but some guys fight like all the time.
Mm. Yeah.
And it kind of loses its like, oh, so-and-so's fighting again.
Yeah.
Oh, there goes so-and-so again.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
There's a few people in the world when a fight, when they kind of get to, and I don't want to call it a fight because you're probably thinking of like, we're going to square up and we're going.
Right.
It's like pushing. It might be grab a face mask. It might be a scuffle.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times it ever happened in Heath's career. If it's one, two, or three. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, right?
I want to hear what the story is before I agree. I'm not going to agree with anything until I hear the story here.
No, but it would be like one of those things, like I said, I can remember it once or twice when you always know when the scuffle breaks out too, because it's like either whistles are blowing, like trying to like whistle and stop it.
Yeah.
And you just see this mosh of people, but sometimes it might just be one or two people, might be three or four. Some guys are coming in to break it up. And that's usually guys are jumping in to break it up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like if a lineman, if it's a revered lineman, like one of the starting five, if they're getting into it, the other starting four are going to get in. Cause it's like they have a little click, right? You don't mess with the lineman.
Right. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. If it's one, it's five.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, those guys for sure. So I remember once, maybe twice, it's like you hear that and you're kind of looking and you see 83 in the mid, like it's like something happened.
Yes.
And for it to happen, it had to be something pretty, like either Heath was just in a bad mood and this kid or whoever it was has probably been like pestered for a long point. And like he probably told him a couple times, like, hey,
stop it.
But it happened. And when it happened, it was like the whole team come to this thing. And usually what happens is offensive guys try and break up offense, defense breaks up defense. And they sometimes like defensive guys will jump into it to fight. Like you're defending your guy. Cause we wore different colored jerseys in practice. So yellows and white. When Heath would get into it, everybody came running and everybody was on Heath's side. because it was like, wait a second. If Heath, I mean, it would happen like the very few people I can think of, like you, I think Aaron Smith once, or like people that I can think are really revered that don't do much or say much. When it happens, it's like, oh my, like something must have happened.
Right.
And so people are flying in there and like, you don't mess with Heath. Like if he's mad, something really happened. Yeah. Or even in a game. Like games don't usually turn into scuffles. They'll get like pushing and they'll break up quick because you don't want to get kicked out of the game.
Yeah.
There were times in games where Heath would be, he's got a little streak to him. He does. Don't let this kind sweet face.
Calm demeanor.
Yeah, just this demeanor for you. Like he's got, just like Troy, right? We all know Troy has a little something to him. I mean, it's a competitor.
He's sure, a competitor. Yeah. You have to be.
And Heath would get into these in games and everybody would just come flying in. It was crazy. Well,
dude, I feel that's funny to hear because I feel like that's the most terrifying when the dude who's like hard worker and he's just steady. Like you're very steady. Like, and I feel the same when I've never met Troy, but I would imagine the same way from what stories I've heard of him. Like when that dude goes off, like, hey, shut it down for a second. Yeah, everybody shut it down.
That's how it was with him. Yeah. And it's like, oh, Heath's in this? We got to get in here. Like, this is, and Heath had a nickname. Would you like to comment on that before I tell him your nickname? About the fighting?
I don't recall fighting. Okay. You know, the only time that really like bothered me in practice would be like on a Friday when we don't have pads on.
Sure.
Yeah. And like, you know, I'm blocking you on Wednesday and Thursday and you take it up another gear when we take the pads off and I'm trying to get ready for the game.
Sure.
Usually that lends itself to like, that's when I call Robin Spath.
Yeah, yeah.
We wait for a double team. We usually get our get back.
Give them these receipts real quick.
Yeah. And that could either end up, you know, good or cause some problems.
Dirty. Dirty's the wrong word. Matt's a little cheap shotter too. He likes little jabs.
He's a physical player. Yeah.
Physical player. Yeah.
He's a little dirty. Yeah, he's a physical player. Yeah.
Listen, as tight ends, you gotta, you know.
Yeah.
You were talking about us earlier. You know, we're always to ourselves. Well, that's because tight ends, like when we break up for offensive meetings, for instance, they're like, okay, lineman yeah. over here.
Skill guys over here.
And like, okay, where's the tight ends?
Yeah.
Or, they're not quite linemen. And they're not quite
like,
right.
So we're just always to ourselves. Sure. We're like a group of our own four or five guys, you know, the running backs have more people, receivers have more people. Yeah, you guys are, you know, have less maybe, but you know, the quarterbacks are definitely taken care of.
Yeah.
The tight ends, we're just, and our coach was the same way, Coach JD. So we followed his lead.
I feel like there's a lot of teams in the league now that don't have tight ends blocking as much. But I felt like when you were playing it, like I was always seeing, you had to block. You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah. Is that some, did you prefer being more physical on the line as opposed to running routes?
I like both.
Yeah.
So man, and special. I think it's just like, the competitive makeup of me as a person, I guess. If you asked the tight end to block, then I wanted to be the best blocker in our room. If I had to pass block, I wasn't okay with like, this guy's our pass blocker. He's the best at it. Like, no, I want to be the best at that. Or if you ask us to do whatever,
right?
Like, no, I want to be the best at that. So I think my mindset was I want to be the best. Like, I don't want to be a liability if we're running the ball. I want you to run it to me. And that's cool. So that's just kind of the way I viewed it. But now a lot of guys are just specific pass catchers, and then you have a specific blocker and or they bring an extra lineman in. So but there's some guys, there's some dinosaurs that still do both.
that right there says it. When you know you're going against one of the best, talk about Mathis and those guys, Freeney. Like a lot of guys are like, you know, put a lineman here or put another guy in. Like I'm a pass catcher. Like he took that challenge. Never shied away from that. That was always really cool. From the Godfather.
I know, like, I thought you were going to say Earl.
I was going to embarrass you.
You've already told everybody before, so.
Well, I know, but that wasn't
embarrassing. It's common knowledge at this point.
Earl.
Yeah. The Earl, but anyways, like as tight ends, like we love the lineman, but sometimes they would send lineman over to meet with us. If we were like down a tight end and we're like, wait, what's, you know, we love you, but you don't need to do our job.
Right.
Like this is our job.
Took pride in his job.
Yeah.
Do you find that there's value in teams splitting up those responsibilities between two different tight ends to be like, hey, this is the dude we want running routes. When we need to run block, this guy comes in? Or do you feel like that might be like a giveaway to the defense?
To me, I think it makes you predictable on offense. I think when you have a guy who can do both, then, in any situation, the run pass is yours is always a threat to run the ball and pass the ball. So I'm not a defensive player. I'm not a defensive coordinator, but to me, that would make game planning a little bit more difficult as opposed to, number X is on the field.
Right.
Okay. They're 90% pass, or if they run it, they're going to run away from him. So I don't know. I think there's still a lot of value in a tight end that can do both.
I mean, hey,
but I haven't been.
You got the credentials.
I haven't been in a meeting
in a few years.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So. Spence, hit us with this last one, so we can get him out of here, and
we'll
go to a commercial break. Brought to you by the Earl Heath Miller Bar.
Yeah,
Wasn't there a bar? The Earl Bar, the Earl Heath Miller Bar.
There was a candy bar.
There was a candy bar.
I'm not telling you the name of it because if you don't remember the name of it, then I'm not going to bring that upon myself. I'm not going to bring it upon myself.
Somebody will love you.
Someone will know about it. Someone will know about it.
No, I could tell you the name of the bar.
It's okay. We don't want to embarrass you.
So in college, some of my teammates called me Big Money.
Big Money.
That's right.
Because it was.
How did I forget that?
I think they thought it was.
Big Money.
I think they thought it was funny because it was contradictive to my personality.
Yeah,
sure.
And they're like, well, you always make big plays when we need you to. So that's what we're going to call you.
Makes full sense.
So I came here and my agent was like, hey, they want to do a candy bar. They're going to call it the Big Money Bar.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't really like, he goes, oh, it's just funny. It's just tongue in cheek, you know? So they, you know, we make it or whatever. because they were doing everything at the time. You probably had, I think you had Big Ben's jerky or something like that.
Sandwich.
Guys had cereal. Like it was kind of the thing to do at the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe they still do it. I don't know. But
sorry that this last one's pink, guys.
But yeah, so the big money bar. And I just remember,
Did you ever try one?
And I'm like, yeah, they were good. Of course they were good.
I think we still have one frozen that
Katie keeps.
No, she keeps
like in our refrigerator, freezer.
That's awesome.
As a keepsake. But this is funny. So I'm like kind of embarrassed about it already. I'm like, I hope nobody sees this in like the stores or whatever, you know? So I show up.
Did it have like your picture on it?
It was cheesy. Yeah, it was very cheesy. It was like a dollar bill with my face, like a cheesy, like, yeah. I'm like, this is horrible. He's like, no, it's funny. It's tongue in cheek. So RJ, RJ Gonzer. So I owe you for that, RJ, if you ever watch this, which I told him about later. But so anyways, I'm like, I hope nobody sees this because. So I show up to training camp year two, I think. And Alan Faneca, who I like looked up to, like everybody on the team looked up to, like, tremendous player, person. I go in the huddle. He's like, oh, so you got a candy bar there, big shot, or something like that. And I'm just like, oh, great. Like, here we go. I knew it. I never should have did that.
Just one of my heroes making fun of me. No big deal.
This royalty check better be a lot of money.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right. I'll jump into this. Unless you have more stories, I would love to, as we're wrapping this up here, maybe some of your insight on the current state of the Steelers. As we're landing this plane. But before we do that, let's drink this pink liquid that we have in front of us. Okay. This is from Flying Dog Brewing, our brewing company. It's from Frederick, Maryland. We're journeying back.
What does it say here?
Oh, yeah. It's a fruit punch sour. It's 5.3% alcohol. Again, no IBU. But it says the champ is here. A 1-2 combo of sweet and tart that stuns you with a pucker punch. If you ever dream of a better sour, you better wake up and apologize. Here we go.
All right,
here we are, boys.
All right, Heath first.
All right, let's see.
It doesn't smell delightful.
It's not bad.
Really?
It's not bad.
I did not expect that from him.
Really?
I mean, the fruit taste is it works, I think.
Yeah, it does not smell good to me.
No, it doesn't smell good at all.
No, it's good aeration.
Yeah, I didn't get enough air in there, but
you're right. It tastes much better than it smells.
Does it?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not bad.
How would you rank it out of 10?
That's pretty good. Let me say it's good.
What do you think?
That might be my favorite of the three.
Really?
Maybe.
Out of 10?
I'll give it a 6. I'm gonna say 7. 6.5, 7.
Okay.
I'm going same range. Close to the first one.
Yeah. For me.
Close to the first one.
I'm gonna give this a 4.5.
Oh.
Yeah. I said what I said.
Wow. Why?
I don't hate it. It's just not good.
Okay. You know what
I'm saying? That's all right.
Honesty. There you go.
It's not as sour as I thought.
No, Flying Dog has a whole bunch of really good beers. That's not one of them for me. It's not bad. If you like sour beer, you'll probably enjoy it.
San Diego's that sour.
It's not that sour. No. I'm not going to buy that. I mean, I bought that one, but I'm not going to buy that.
That might have been the lowest, that might have been the worst rate you've ever given anything.
Yeah. I mean, that double jam.
Double Bock?
The double Bock was good. The Epic joint. The double stout joint that you love that one. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that one was that. Yeah.
He likes to get beers that make me want to throw up.
Yeah. So he tries to get you. Yes. Yeah.
Because the fans like the reaction because I just truly don't like it. Because some of them taste like coffee and I don't like coffee.
It tastes like black licorice.
All like mixed together.
Yeah.
Coffee, black licorice. Ooh,
yeah.
And
it doesn't sound good.
And a V8.
And you like it, Spence? You like
it? I like some stouts.
Or you like it enough to make him?
Yeah. I know there are some
Ben's reaction.
Yeah. I know there's some of them. I'm like, this is going to either get a reaction or he's going to hate this. But my thing is like, there are a lot of people that watch this show that love stouts. And so there might be a really good stout that, you know, you can turn people on to.
Got to have variety.
Exactly. Yeah. We've not found one here on this show, but I'm sure that they exist. You know what I'm saying? So
Well, sometimes we do fan questions, but obviously we don't have any because no one knew you were coming on. And so we've yep. kept you here long enough. We are very, very blessed to have had you be our guest. We are going to sign a mini helmet That's and right. a football, right? We're both going to sign yeah, it. Course, we'll give it away yeah. as a little gift like we've done. But before we go, as Spence mentioned, you know, obviously congratulations again on the Hall of Honor getting in. We're going to the game this week against the Saints.
Yeah.
Maybe the power of Heath will bring victory. What's the thoughts right now on the team? What's going on? What do you think?
Well, they're struggling. I haven't watched closely every mm-hmm. game to give an honest like assessment, but they're struggling. I think they have a young quarterback. I think a lot's on his plate. I wish that they could run the ball better and make mm-hmm. his life a little bit easier. You can attest to this more than me. But
yeah,
I hope they can get the running game going because I think Najee Harris is a great back.
Yeah,
and the young guy, I haven't watched him a lot, but I know he's been productive.
Yeah.
If they can get the run game going, it just makes the defense's job easier. It makes the quarterback's job easier. It makes the lineman's job easier. So that's my hope for these last. And as the weather gets colder and nastier.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steeler weather, as Coach LeVeau used to say. Steeler weather.
Yeah.
You got to be able to run the football. So that's my hope.
Yeah.
I think everybody's job becomes a little bit easier when that happens, especially quarterbacks. And, you know, he's a young guy that's learning. So,
see, that's the difference. I think they need to throw the ball more.
Yes. No,
of course.
He says the exact opposite.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah.
No, we pre.
He can either run the ball and throw it to the tight end. Okay?
There you go. There you go. Yeah. If you're going to throw to the tight end, I would. So no chance you'll ever come out of retirement?
No.
For one game. One. Could you? Let me ask you this. This is my last question, most likely. If they asked you for one play, could you give them one play right now? Like, go. What could you give them? And they said, do you want to run block or do you want to go out for a pass? What are you doing?
I would probably go out for a pass.
Run your way. Okay. Go out for a pass.
Just like a little shake route right over the ball.
Just 5 yards turn around.
5 yards. Yeah. I can't open up. And, you don't want to see that. Yeah.
And when you catch, are you catching turn? Are you tight turning and getting upfield or are you just going down?
I could tight turn it. Yeah.
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 Are you going to pull the Heath Miller and try and run someone over?
Yeah. For sure.
Yes.
And if you happen to score, are you just handing the ball to the official? One play. Yeah,
look,
one play.
They asked me about this morning because I had to call into the radio too.
Okay.
And I was like, if I celebrated or danced, like it would be not top 10 every week. So there's a reason I didn't do it. And it wasn't all like, I just want to give the ball to the ref. Like, no, you don't want to see me. Yeah.
But you had some in there. That you were thinking of, you're just like, I so embarrass myself. But if I was going to, I'd hit him with the sprinkler.
I know enough about myself that it never crossed my mind. No, you don't want to see that.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well,
if I did the gritty, it would be on the not top 10.
Well, let's try it. Let's try it.
We got a camera.
You want to do
it? If I did the gritty, it would be on the not top 10. And I'm trying to make that.
Would your kids be super embarrassed if you tried it?
No.
They wouldn't care?
No, they try to do it all the time.
They're better
than me. Yep. They got mom's rhythm. So
nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks for being my friend and teammate for so many years. I'm still mad at you for retiring early. But I won't mention that out loud. Did I say that out loud?
No, I think it was a thought. It was
fine. Can edit that.
We don't edit anything here. We're live. Congratulations on the hall. Very well deserved. And the family and everything. And just thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you guys. And, you know, I'm getting recognized, but like I said, it's a team sport and not a lot of people can say that they were drafted in my case and played with the Hall of Fame quarterback for 11 straight years, the same Hall of Fame quarterback for 11 straight years. So that had a huge effect on my career. And, well, you know how I feel about you and how much I appreciate you. So I know I'm getting honored this weekend, but, this guy was a huge part of it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you, Bob.
I feel like that's the most Heath Miller. Like that's the most humble. That is exactly.
It's genuine and real.
Yeah. Awesome. That's what makes it the best. That's what makes it him, man. Yeah. That is
even
amazing.
If he does lie about me and my sleeping habits on occasion.
I even said you didn't snore.
He embellishes.
It's an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Spence, take us home before I start crying. Get us out of here.
Well, thank you guys again for tuning in. Obviously, thank you, Heath, again for stopping by while you're in town. couple things to keep you guys plugged in. Obviously, if you are not already, go ahead and follow Footballin' with Ben on Instagram. We do giveaways. We do exclusive content. We'll drop, if we have guests that we know about before an hour before we start filming, we'll let you know about that so you guys can ask questions. Also, Ben, which is super exciting, we finally have Footballin' with Ben merchandise. Ooh. That is right. And so that is going to be available in the link in the description. Feel free to jump down there and grab that if you so please. Beyond that, we appreciate your guys' time, and we'll see you next week.